I begin with this question Peter asks of Jesus. It is a follow-up to last Sunday's scripture, where Jesus is instructing the disciples and his followers on how to go about dealing with someone who sins against them. This question is given the due consideration of two Sundays, so it must be important. It must be important to our lives as Christians. It stresses the importance of being able to forgive. Jesus had instructed the disciples on how to address a brother or a sister who has sinned against them, and they are in a position where they feel they are not able to forgive fully. Peter, when he hears this, asks Jesus a new question because he is always seeking that deeper meaning. Lord, how often should I forgive? Peter offers his own answer. 7 times? Now this sounds like a good answer, because Jesus had been teaching them about 4 steps that they should go through in order to deal with a member who was not listening to them time after time. Peter recognizes this process. Hey, we're giving this person 4 chances. I'm going to answer 7 times. I should forgive my brother 7 times. But Jesus answers him with this ridiculous amount of 77 times. Isn't Jesus really just saying, always? It's as though Peter sees in this lesson that Jesus is talking about forgiveness, these 4 steps previously. And he's bringing it into this next chapter. We all know that forgiveness is tough. Forgiving just 1 time is tough. We ask for forgiveness often, and we will do so here later in our service. And it is right and good that we do this, that we come before God in this way. When we say our communal confession, we say it together. We will confess that we have sinned against God and our neighbor, our brothers and our sisters. And we pray to God for that mercy and for that forgiveness so that we may do better. Forgiveness is also in our Lord's Prayer. There are 3 versions of the Lord's Prayer that we recite, and they're all scripturally based. There's the traditional, or the one that we are very familiar with, that has, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us." There's the not-so-traditional version. We get this from Luke's Gospel. "Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors," or those who are indebted to us. And in the more contemporary language, we see, "Forgive us all our sins as we forgive those who sin against us." Now, whichever version we pray, we understand that forgiveness is the important piece. Back when I was a youth minister, I led a Bible study on the Lord's Prayer. So I printed out these versions I think there might have even been four. I think I got one that was even a little more contemporary. But I put them all up on the white, pinned them up on the whiteboard. And I said, hey, before we get too far, in this class, why don't we pick one of these that we will all agree to focus on? And they all looked at them, they all read them, they studied them, and everyone said, we want to study, forgive us our sins. I asked the group, well, why that version? Why not the others? And a few of them stepped up and answered for the group. Well, we understand that. Trespass, they hadn't understand. That deals with property, right? And people coming on that you don't want to have. Oh, and what about debtors? I'm in middle school. What debts do I have right now? You know, or that I understand, you know. No loans, no credit cards, etc. But sin, they understood. Sin was doing bad things and having bad things done to you. So the class got that, and that's where we moved on. For the same reason, though, Jesus told the parable of the kingdom of heaven being like a king and his indebted slaves. The followers and the disciples of Jesus who were hearing this, well, they understood that. They understood indebtedness and servanthood. They understood being indebted to someone, owing someone money, and being powerless in their presence. They understood this lesson. So Jesus' lesson begins with a king settling his slave's debts. And one slave, one servant, asking for patience. Dear Lord, please, begging on his knees for mercy, said, I will repay if you have mercy on me. So the king has mercy on this servant and forgives him his debt. Not some of it, all of it. Jesus uses an absurd amount of money as an example to express the slave's indebtedness to his Lord. 10,000 talents. Now, I didn't want to bother you all with the current exchange rate, but it's $1 million or more as we see it now. And that's a crazy amount for a slave to owe a master. But Jesus was using this amount to make his point. But the king understood, the king who we understand, this king is God in this tale, in this parable. God is merciful and forgives all of it. The servant then goes to a fellow servant, grabs him by the throat, and demands that he pay the ridiculously low amount of 100 denarii, which is just $10 or $20 to us now. And he physically threats him. So the first servant then does not show mercy when the second servant begs for forgiveness and for mercy. He doesn't do this. He does not extend it. So he locks up his fellow servant, which was within his right within the law. The king then learns of this outcome and punishes the wicked first servant for not showing mercy as he did. God's love and mercy, God's full forgiveness of our sins is our example. We should forgive because God first forgave us. Forgiving our fellow members, our brothers and our sisters, I'm just going to say it again, it is hard. And God knows this. And His mercy and love extends to that understanding that it is hard. But God loves. So we can assume, and we should understand, that the foundation of forgiveness is love. And God showed us that love through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus Christ is our perfect example of love and forgiveness. We see this in John 8. Allow me a moment to insert this. When a crowd brings before Jesus a woman caught in the act of adultery, Jesus knows the law. He respects the law. He does not condemn the law. He knows that the crowd with stones in their hands are within their right to stone their captive to death. So Jesus tells the crowd, stones waiting, ready to carry out judgment. Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Now I know this is a whole other sermon, so I won't get into too much of that. But we see here that Jesus isn't just talking the talk. He is walking the walk about forgiveness. Our perfect example. Yes, forgiving is hard. We need help in these situations. We need strength. So our prayer could include asking for that help. Help me, Lord, in forgiving our brother and our sister, our fellow member. We need God's help. We need God's strength in showing mercy and love when we are hurt. The perfect example is to always forgive. So let's extend our prayer to Lord, help us to forgive those who sin against us. Amen.